Today is the third Sunday of Advent. We are in the third week of Advent, and we're continuing our series called Simply Christmas. Celebrating Christmas without the chaos, because we got to admit, we would rather have more Christ and less chaos as Christmas. Amen? And so as we're drawing closer to Christ and we're celebrating Jesus as the reason for the season, we're taking some practical steps in how we can cut down on some of the commercialized clutter that seems to consume our energy. And we're embarking on some eccentric exercises, some practical exercises to reclaim one of the holiest seasons of the year. And so today, as we do this, we're getting a little personal. We're exploring our closets, our clothes drawers, and even the clothes on our backs. Laura's children's message kind of gave us an insight a little bit into what today's message is about, but I invite us to come together and find out more how we can use what we have to help and participate with Christ. If you would, take out your Bible and turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. Our scripture today is verses 7 through 10. And follow along as we hear the good news. It says, when John's disciples had gone, Jesus spoke to the crowds about John. What did you go out to the wilderness to see? A stalk blowing in the wind? What did you go out to see? A man dressed up in refined clothes? Look, those who wear refined clothes are in royal palaces. So what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, he is the one whom it is written, look, I'm sending my messenger before you who will prepare your way before you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, as we worship you today and as we meditate on these words, may we hear your message and may our hearts be prepared for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. So, who likes to look good? Oh, yeah, most of us. If you're not raising your hand, I see that head nodding, because I don't think there's anybody here that doesn't like to look good. And who likes to have nice clothes, some fine threads? Oh, yeah. Solomon, I see your hand, brother. I appreciate that. You're always looking sharp. Now, whether you're into a nice suit or glittery red shoes, or maybe even it's one of those holiday sweaters with the bells on it, there is pressure to present well. And somehow our identity gets tied up, and it often hinges on our wardrobe. We often get caught up in the latest fashion trends and wanting to look good, and whether we're prepping for a holiday party, or maybe it's a special event, or maybe it's just one of those moments when you're in the store and everything you want's on sale. You're like, oh, this is a day. And we like to buy clothes, new stuff, and even if the reason is perhaps one of those silly, ugly Christmas sweater parties. You know, growing up, I was always nervous of having all the fashion stuff. I wasn't big into the latest fashions and latest trends, except for one Christmas, I got a pair of parachute pants. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And all of a sudden, I was the baddest breakdancer on the block. Well, then years ago, we moved and we lived in Dallas for several years. And while there, I encountered a whole new world. I was suddenly surrounded, not just on the outside, but in church, by people, men and women, who looked like they had just stepped out of like the Elle or GQ fashion magazine. Oh my gosh, they were dressed. They looked so good. I was like, oh, and the pressure was intense. And so one day, when I strolled into the Nordstrom's off the rack or the Saks off Fifth Avenue, man, that pressure was on. And they had Giorgio Armani and Hugo Boss suits for 70% off. You know, you do the math, that's a $2,000 suit for less than $700. But then just last winter, I was in one of my favorite outdoor shops, and they had these soft plaid flannel shirts. They were on sale. They weren't $50. They were $19. Man, I hit gold. I didn't get one. I got four. Yeah, feel free to judge me. I deserve it. Really, most of us, we like clothing. And often we like shopping. But I'm talking more than just retail therapy. You know, retail therapy can be fun. But perhaps, not just for me, but for many of us, this is one of those areas in our life where we can practice some restraint. And if you're like me and you go home and you look in your closet and look in your drawers and you start counting all your clothes, you'll be amazed at how much you have, and then suddenly you realize that you already have way more than what you need. So maybe we can be more aware of our external expectations this holiday season. Maybe we can do a little bit more with what we have, with what we already have. And then maybe we can find fun ways to help those who have less. Now, part of this series, I've talked to you about limiting some of your stuff to seven items for food, or thinking of seven ways to do this. But I'm not asking you to limit yourself to seven items of clothing. That would be impractical. I mean, we live in a place where we actually have four seasons, right? But I'm also wondering, maybe there's something to those who do wear the same clothes every day. Maybe not the exact same clothes, but this, all their clothes are the same. You know, they don't have to think about what they're going to wear. But really, though, do we really need all the things that we have, all the items in our closet, the ones we don't wear, the ones we haven't worn in over a year, or the ones that still have tags on them, the ones that don't fit right? Do we really need all this excess? Our scripture today helps us have a little perspective. Because Jesus is talking to the crowds, and he's talking about this man that we call John the Baptist. And John belonged to this religious group known as the Essenes, and they were minimalist to the extreme. They were an ascetic religious group that tended to live out in caves in the Qumran Desert. And if, according to Matthew chapter 3, verse 4, it talks about how John dressed. John wore clothes made of camel's hair. And he had a leather belt around his waist. And for food, he ate what was known as locust and wild honey. You may think, that's kind of weird. Now, some of us may think, well, that could actually be locusts like grasshoppers and wild honey like honeycomb. Because I hear that tastes pretty good. But more than likely, it was also known as a type of small evergreen shrub that produced little legumes on it. And it's very common in that area. But anyway, I want you to listen to what Jesus says to the crowds about John. He asks them, "Who did you come out to see? A guy decked out and dressed sharp clothes and dressed up in sharp clothes, wearing a fancy suit? A guy wearing the latest fashions and finest threads? Is that who you came to see?" Really, it's a rhetorical question. Because Jesus is answering himself. He says, "No, you came to see a prophet. Though not just any prophet. This is God's messenger." And then he quotes Malachi 3, saying that this is the promised one, preparing the way for the Messiah, preparing the way for the Lord, preparing the way for Jesus. John was God's messenger who came to help the people get ready for Jesus. But I want you to notice how God's special messenger is dressed. His clothes were made of camel hair. Now, when I think of this, I cannot help but to think of some type of Fred Flintstone brown camel outfit. But I'm guessing that if this kind of clothing was comfortable or even practical, it would be all the rage this holiday. Am I right? But it's not. I mean, when was the last time you went to the store and you saw camel hair clothing? Yeah, me either.
John was one rugged dude. But perhaps through God's messenger, we can find out another message about our clothes. Because our culture puts these expectations on us about how we should dress, that we should wear this or we should look like that, that we want to look good, we want to look good for the position, we want to look good for the job, we want to show our positions of power and prestige and privilege. Yet the one who God sent to prepare the way for Jesus wore clothes that if we saw him today, if someone saw him today, it looked like someone that was destitute or homeless. Am I right? In fact, one time Jesus tells the people to look at the lilies of the field and see how they're dressed. And he points out that even the richest people aren't dressed as nice as them. I wish I could look as good as he points at us. I'm not saying we cannot have nice clothes. In fact, fine threads are nice. I like looking good. I like feeling good and well-fitting, well-made clothes. And even Jesus' clothes were considered nice and expensive, fine threads. Yet, perhaps what we wear is not God's priority for our lives. And perhaps it should hold less priority in our minds. And while Jesus may have had a nice set of clothes for his ministry, he also knew what it was like to do with less. Because when Jesus was born, he came into this world just like every other baby. And God's incarnate son didn't show up in splendor, wearing kingly robes. He came into this world to save the world, looking just like you and me. And his mother wrapped him in cloth. Whatever she had available at that time, at that moment, that's what Jesus was wrapped and swallowed in. And that lets us know that God's grace and presence has nothing to do with what we wear. And there is a way that we can clothe ourselves in something that's greater than fine threads. The truth is, we can clothe ourselves in Christ. Proverbs 31:25 says this about the godly woman. Strength and honor are her clothing. She is confident about the future. Her mouth is full of wisdom. Kindly teaching is on her tongue. See, it's not what she wears on the outside. It's what she wears on the inside. Strength, honor, confidence, wisdom. Kindness. Galatians 3:26 reminds us that we are all God's children through faith in Christ Jesus. And all of you who were baptized into Christ, you have clothed yourself with Christ. What a beautiful image. That through our baptism that we put on Christ, that we have put on his life, we have his spirit and his grace, and it covers us from the top of our head to the tip of our toes. And in the eyes of God, we are God's children, beautifully and wonderfully made. You are God's child, beautifully and wonderfully made. Romans 13:14 says to dress yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and don't plan to indulge your selfish desire. Ouch. But really, Paul is summing up what it means to live a life following Christ, that instead of selfish desire, we don't put on those selfish things. We don't do those selfish things, including adultery and murder and stealing and desiring what others have. He sums it up instead. Love your neighbor as yourself. Once when expounding upon what it means to love your neighbor, Martin Luther King Jr. expounded upon the story of the Good Samaritan. And he said, the first question that the priest and the Levite, when they came across the man, was to ask themselves, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? But the Good Samaritan reversed that question. He says, if I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him? See, answering that
and following through, that is loving your neighbor. And when we think about that, then we realize that in the grand scheme of things, the question is of how do I look to people really sounds kind of ludicrous, doesn't it? Sure, it's a good idea to be clothed. We don't want to walk around in the king's clothes, right? We don't want to be indecent. Yet do people really care that much about what we look like and about what we wear from day to day? And if they do, isn't that really their problem and not ours? Perhaps this season we can be more aware of what we purchase, why, and when, and hopefully we can use what we have to help someone else out. Here's a few practical tips on that. You ready? You might want to take some notes. Give a sentimental gift to a family member. Anybody got a child or a grandchild that likes to wear your favorite sweater or your favorite sweatshirt? Yeah? What if you wrapped it up and gave it to them? I mean, they're going to keep stealing it. Or how about this? Instead of high fashion, go for symbolism. Give away a pair of gloves with a note about pledging to help someone. For example, gardening gloves to help out someone do some work in the spring. Or what about some work gloves to help commit to a friend, to helping out a friend finish a project? Or, and teenagers, listen to this one, how about a pair of kitchen gloves with a promise to help with the holiday dishes? Parents, we can always dream, right? What about going through your closet and finding good shirts and pants and shoes that are in nice condition and donating them to a family that's in need or to a shelter? Whatever you do, please, please, do not donate used socks and underwear. Gross. If it's got holes or stains or it's worn out, toss it out or recycle it. Your trash is not someone else's treasure. And I know that you are decent human beings. And I know that you're not the ones that keep donating these used rags to the local thrift stores. Come on, people, right? Finally, we have other opportunities. We have our in-house collections, especially in the narthex. We have these giving opportunities. We have our angel tree. We have our warming tree that holds hats and mittens and gloves and even coats. And then on Wednesday, you're invited to come to the children's musical, and you know you don't want to miss that. And afterwards, we're having our baby Jesus shower. We're collecting diapers and infant clothing and items that go along with that. But as we draw closer to the holidays, feel free to explore some of the latest fashion trends, but when you do, ask yourself, why and to what ends? Because while we want to look good and feel good in what we wear, let's also remember that we're more than our fine threads. We are messengers who make a way for others to experience Jesus Christ. We are preparing the way for someone to see and to know the love and the grace and the presence of Jesus. And they may have never experienced that before. They may get to experience that through you. So let's be aware that this Christmas, every time we say Merry Christmas, let's follow through and do something to make it merry as we all clothe ourselves in Christ. Amen?